Thank you. Thank you, Jonathan. We're in sermon series in... these are the upcoming events. We have All Points as a Friends. It's going to be two introductions and welcomes. One at AAU the 29th. We will then host Welcome to All Boy Here the 6th. It'll be an international fair at the library the 13th. So be praying about these things. Also tomorrow, Haumaine's going to Vilivam tomorrow. Who's going tomorrow? Okay. So there's a kids camp tomorrow. And so you can pray for that. We have some of the children going and some of us volunteering to help out. So pray for that. That starts tomorrow. Cooking calendar, giving, and also hello from Pei. Some of you know Pei, some of you don't. I'll give the information that he is going to Spain here in September, and then he'll apply for a visa for his family to come. He's going to take a research position there, so you can pray for them and their family. And then pray for Vilivam the next 4 days. All right, there it was. So you can take your Bible and go to the Gospel of John. We're in this series. We had a four-week break where first John from Tennessee, who is church planting in Texas, he came and blessed you guys with a sermon about faith. And then Lee did the Sidwalk Stand series in Ephesians. And now we're back in John, John 18. Jesus is walking towards his death. He's walking towards his the garden of Gethsemane. John has a lot different view, or tells a different focuses on different things. But today we will look at kind of the two things is that who do you seek is going to be Jesus' question. And also, I've added, who do you seek and who do you deny? And in looking into those things, we can look at our lives and be like, okay, what does that look like? Do I daily seek Jesus, or is it, like Jonathan says, sometimes we forget? And then also, when we deny Jesus or deny something, why do we do that? So we'll be looking into that in the text. And as we're going to read, Jesus and his followers are going to go over the Brook Kidron. I think we do have a little... Oh, yeah, sorry. If you need sermon notes, you can scan the code. They will be in Ukrainian first and underneath in English. So if you want the sermon notes. As Jesus is doing that, you can. I just want to encourage us to see that Jesus knows exactly what's going to happen. He even protects his followers, and he continues to do God's will. And he even challenges evil when he is hid for no reason. So just as we go into the text, today we will go through 27. So we will be reading the text. Oh, that was what that's. So they're walking out to the gardens of. They're going from the upper room, walking out to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's going to be arrested, and he's going to go back into that guy's house, and then later to Caiaphas' house, and then to Herod's place. We won't go all the route today, but we will be going from the upper room, or they're on the way from the upper room out into the garden. And then he'll be arrested and taken back in. But let's read together. When Jesus spoke these things, and that was the five or six other sermons we've had, that's those things, he went out with his disciples across the Brook Kidron, where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. Now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew this place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Judas, having procured a band of soldiers and some officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, went there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing all that would happen, to him, came forward and said to them, "Who do you seek?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to him, "I am he." Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. When Jesus said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. So he asked them again, "Whom do you seek?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I told you, I am he. So if you seek me, let these men go." This was to fulfill the word that he had spoken, "Of those whom you have given me, I have lost no one." Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword back in its sheath. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me?" So the band of soldiers and their captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. First they led him to Annas, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. It was Caiaphas who had advised the Jews that it would be expedient that one man should die for the people. Some of the people followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Since the disciple was known to the high priest, he entered with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter stood outside at the door. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the servant girl who kept watch at the door and brought Peter in. The servant girl at the door said to Peter, "You are also one of this man's disciples, aren't you?" And he said, "I'm not." Now the servant of the officer had made a charcoal fire because it was cold. And they were standing and warming themselves. Peter also was with them, standing and warming himself. The high priest then questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. Jesus answered him, "I have spoken open to the world. I have always taught in synagogues and in the temple where all Jews come together. I have said nothing in secret. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard what I said to them. They know what I said." When he had said these things, one of the officers standing by him struck Jesus with his hand, saying, "Is that how you answer the high priest?" Jesus answered him, "If I had said something wrong, bear witness about the wrong. But if what I said is right, why do you strike me?" Annas then sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Now Simon Peter was standing outside warming himself. So they said to him, "You are also one of this man's disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I'm not." One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, said, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Peter again denied it, and at once a rooster crowed. As we look into what's happening here, as I said before, the Jesus knows what's going to happen. But there's also another person that knows something, and that's Judas. And he knows the place where they're going. So he says to the Pharisees and other people, "Hey, let's get together a band of people, and then we can go arrest him." So that's what Judas is doing. The other people are going there, likely to pray and different things out there. But then Judas finds the Pharisees. They get lanterns and torches, and they all came out to arrest him. And as Jesus would say later, they could have done that at any time in the temple or in a synagogue, but they didn't. They were waiting for an opportune time when there was no crowd to do it. we have this beautiful picture when Jesus walks forward and he asks this great question. He asked them, who do you seek? And I think it was interesting just even getting this question for all the band of people, for Judas and for all the people. It's like, who do you seek? Might even make them think about, what are you doing and why are you doing this? Why are you seeking to arrest Jesus? This is such a good question that I'm going to ask you that question a little bit later after we've gone through the text. You can also ask it of every person that's being mentioned here. What's Judas seeking? What's the Pharisee seeking? What's Peter seeking? They all seem to be seeking something different than what Jesus is seeking. Although they might all be seeking Jesus, they have different reasons to seek Jesus. Some of them wants to kill him. Some of them wants to be him to be their king. They all have reasons to seek Jesus. So we're going to ask that question of ourselves. Like, why do we seek Jesus? If we seek Jesus, why do we seek him? And for what reasons do we seek him? You can see clearly here the different people's motives. Like, some of them seek him to kill and arrest him. And Peter is seeking Jesus because he wants him to set up his kingdom now. It's very interesting to see what happens, and we only see this in John. They respond, "We seek Jesus of Nazareth." And then Jesus says, "I am he." And you see this, amazing picture of how maybe the glimpse of the majesty of Jesus comes out and they all fall to their knees. So Jesus, he could have just sprinted away at that point. but he doesn't. He stays in it. He stays in it. And I was just thinking about, it's the one of those great verses I like from the New Testament, that as Jesus comes back, every knee on heaven and earth will bow when he comes back. So maybe it's a glimpse of that they see. And instead of immediately arresting him, they fall to the ground as he says who he is. And then the strange thing of confusion, that whatever is going on, you can see that scene might be weird. You know, there's a guy who has nothing, and then there's people with swords and lanterns wanting to arrest him. They all is sitting on their knees or lying on the ground. Jesus then again asks, who do you seek? They respond the same thing, we're seeking Jesus of Nazareth. And then Jesus is protecting his disciples, saying, okay, I'm here. So you can let these men go. Jesus, knowing what's going to happen, is also now, as John said earlier, he's going to protect his disciples. And they're not going to be taken. And then we have because he has to have, I mean, Peter, we have to give Peter some credit. You know, he said, I am not going to deny you. I will fight to the death. I'm not going down without a fight. I will not deny you. And so we see Peter trying to do this as he takes his sword and cuts off the ear of one of the guards. Some people say he's very bad at aiming because he was trying to hit his head. I'm not going to comment on that. I don't know if he was a good swordsman. He was a fisherman, but at least he does fight. Peter does fight. He takes up his sword and he fights. He's willing to. I don't. There's him. I don't know. They have two swords. Like, and there's a bunch of other people. So he's not. He's not. What do you call it? He's not a coward. Like he's gonna put up a fight with his sword to defend Jesus from being arrested. So Jesus, Peter, in a sense, he is at this point true to his word, and he goes like, "Well, I'm gonna go down. If I'm gonna go down, I'm gonna go down with my sword, with this sword, and I'll protect Jesus." But then, this is where we see see that Peter's vision of who Jesus is different than what Jesus is going to do. Because Jesus is going to say to him, "Put that sword back. Am I not supposed to do what the Father has given to me?" In other accounts, he said, I could just ask my Father for 1,000 angels, and I would be free. So, in what I think is a very strange scene, you have people lying on the floor. You have lying down because of Jesus' name, and then you have Peter cutting off someone's ear. And then we don't have much more description other than, okay, they're gonna arrest Jesus, and then they're gonna take him to Annas' house. Peter was also seeking Jesus. We've talked a lot about it in the series. He was seeking Jesus because he really believed that he was the promised Messiah that was going to set up his kingdom and was free the people of God. Peter thought that that was something that he had to fight for. But Peter and other people forgot the disciples, where there's a suffering servant in the Isaiah. There's a shepherd who lays down his life in Zechariah. Peter only had the view of Jesus as the conquering king. Jesus is the conquering king, but first he came to conquer Satan, sin, and death, and would be the good shepherd who laid down his life for the people. And Jesus was so focused on doing his Father's will and what they had to do. And in all this chaos, Jesus is arrested, is taken to Annas' house. There could be a lot said about Jesus' travels, his trials at night. It's not exactly totally legal to be tried at night, so maybe that's why they go to Annas' house first, and then later to Caiaphas' house. Caiaphas earlier had, in a sense of what John said, prophesied it would be better that one person die for the nation, for their salvation. This moment was starting to come true as Jesus was going to give up his life that people might be saved. Then we have this other this interaction where Peter and the other disciple, they follow Jesus, and the one can get in, the other one can't get in, and Peter waits at the door, and the other disciple gets him in. And then it's like, oh, is he going to go in there? He's going to take his sword again and start a fight and then free Jesus? No, now Peter, highly likely confused, by the inquiry of a young woman, then denies that he even knows Jesus. Is it because he's pressured by his enemies or anything? No. It's likely a young woman who keeps the door. Does he deny Jesus because now it's not socially acceptable? Maybe. But the one who was willing to fight hours before now is very willing to deny the one who he had put his hope and trust in, his Lord and Savior. We clip into the next section, we clip in back into the trial. And I think it's really interesting how Jesus responds. Kind of responding like, okay, you could have arrested me at any time, but you're a bunch of cowards and you didn't. but also, why are you asking me? Why don't you ask the people I taught? And then, as anyone who's good at debating knows, that when people don't have any question, they abuse you. So somebody just hits Jesus. And then he challenges that guy. Okay, so what was wrong of what I said? And the person doesn't have anything because Jesus wasn't wrong. He pointed out that they were about to commit a big crime. They never respond, and then they just take Jesus to another place. As they do that, Peter is confronted again, and he denies Jesus two more times. And this is such a weird. If you look at the last part, this is one of the guys who saw him in the garden, and who is related to the guy who he cut his ear off. I mean, you really have to deny if a guy saw you with Jesus and he saw him cut off your cousin's ear, you really have to be good at denying. To do that. But Peter does. He says, I don't even know him. I don't know what you're talking about. So it's easy to look down on Peter, but what about us? And so now we'd go on, like, if we deny Jesus in our lifestyle, or if we deny we are followers of Jesus, why do we do that? Is it fear, pressure, social pressure? We want the praise of man. We want to be popular at work. Or we want to fit into culture. We want to be tolerant and diverse. So why is this an important question? Like I said, a lot of times, I think it's a really important question because I think the reasons we seek Jesus and the reasons we deny Jesus, there's a highly likely we'll find our idols buried there. If we seek Jesus for our own purposes and our own, if we seek Jesus and we have an agenda with Jesus, then I think we seek him for the wrong reasons. When we do not deny Jesus, we're like, well, why do I now deny that I'm a follower of Jesus? I think under both of those, we find our idols. So I think it's a very good question to ask. And they might actually function as your God. Maybe it's you want fame and money, everyone to like you. So the question is, as Jesus said, who do you seek? Jonathan talked about it. Who do you seek when you get up in the morning? Who do you seek throughout the day? Are you seeking the wisdom of the world, or are you seeking Jesus? And if you're seeking Jesus, are you seeking him for yourself and your own agenda? Today I'm going to seek Jesus because I want my marriage to be better. Or I'm going to seek Jesus because today I'm going to travel, I want a promotion or something. But I think what we see when we sing our praises, when they have good lyrics in the praises, we seek, like, we see Jesus for who he is, not for what Jesus is going to give us. We praise and seek Jesus for what he is and who he claims to be. What do we do when Jesus is confusing? Because I generally think that Peter is confused. I think Peter is really, he's bold and courageous, and he tries to fight the good fight. But Jesus is doing it a different way. What do we do? Is that one of the reasons why we deny Jesus? Because now things are confusing? Jesus, I've been trying to seek you my whole life and I don't understand what's going on. Will we then start denying him or will we continue to seek him? Will we sometimes, as Peter, fight battles we're not really supposed to fight because that's not the way Jesus' way is? Or it's not even for Jesus. It's for our own ways, but we slap Jesus' name on it. Peter does fight. He is bold and courageous. But he fights about an idea in his head of what Jesus should be. And Peter doesn't understand it yet. And that's why Peter denies that he's a disciple three times. He's confused. He doesn't understand what Jesus is doing. This is one of the things that hit me the hardest after I became a believer. Because I knew I had denied Jesus many times in my life, school and lots of other places. It hit me hard when I saw, I think it was a movie, where you see Peter denying Jesus. And I was just like, Lord, I'm so sorry that I have done that in my life. But I do think it's good for us to be asking this question. That even when I denied Jesus, he still chose to go through with this that happened. Although he saw my denial, your denial of him, Jesus went through this arrest. As we sang, he chose to die and have his hands pierced, even though I chose to deny him. And now I think we're really encouraged to do something different. Because I do believe we're supposed to seek Jesus daily. But then in Luke, we get a word from Jesus that says, well, now the choice is that you deny yourself. We can deny ourselves what we want. Our own view of who Jesus is, and we can deny those things, and then we can take up our cross and follow Jesus. Not following for what I want, but for who Jesus is. I can seek Jesus not for my own gain, but because of who he is. And that's so good. That is such great news, because all of us have denied Jesus. All of us has wanted things our own way, and we have denied him by the way we think and act. But before all of us was born, Christ made a way for us that we actually could be reconciled to God. And then actually is a good thing to deny ourselves. Now, culture would say differently, that you should not decide, you should not deny it yourself. You should always have what you want, and you should show it, eat it, buy it. You're worth it. Just do it. You'll be following your heart. But Jesus says absolutely nothing of that. Jesus, in this instance, is asking, who are you seeking? And when he gives the invitation to come follow him, he's not saying, you be you, you do you. No, he's asking that daily you would deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. So when we ask ourselves, who are you seeking? Is it Jesus? Are you actually just seeking yourself underneath seeking Jesus and denying? Bad news is that even if you seek yourself for a wrong version of Jesus, it won't work. you won't be satisfied. Whatever drug you get, whatever money you gain, whatever fish, it's not going to last. The effects will go away and it will leave you still wanting. Now, this is because I was reading the news and studying different things. So, in culture, sometimes things become normal. So, apparently, in Danish culture, cocaine is getting to be normal. Cocaine is seen by many. There's research done every year, and they comment and they see how many has done different drugs. And so, apparently, now cocaine is used so much that it's seen by many people as a harmless, innocent drug, maybe a little like marijuana. But this is absolutely not true. All science that is about drugs knows that none of this is true. Cocaine is extremely more dangerous, extremely more addictive, and the down you can have from those drugs are horrible. Now, I would also go against all the other people who say that cannabis is not dangerous. Because in all the cases where that is legal, the percentage of people who get addicted, get psychoses, are higher. It's a little bit like saying traffic is not dangerous. In Denmark, they just lowered that you can start driving alone at 17. No, your car, knowing that people will die. Statistics says people will die. When a culture takes a look and say, well, we're willing that these people should die, because then we will legalize this law, or we will, as a social construct, we will say, well, cocaine is not really that dangerous. I think that's a great example of what sin is. It's saying that, this is not really... You know, sex before marriage is not that big of a deal. Stealing and being greedy is not that big of a deal. But it is. And it will destroy you and your relationship with God. No matter what culture says. In this case, these things are dangerous. Extremely dangerous. But because culture normalizes something, rationalizes something, doesn't mean that it is that way. This illustration I bring up because there's always going to be a pressure on the church and for believers to accept things from outside. There's always be a pressure from false teachers to normalize sin and evil. That always will hurt people. There's always going to be people who seek and use the name of Jesus for their own gain. Or for their own idea who Jesus is, but would have no root in who Jesus is revealed to be. There will always be people saying that there's no effects of sin. Most people say that sin doesn't exist. This is my hope for us, that we will always be praying, and we will be praying that we seek Jesus for his sake. We'll be like Jesus, seeking Jesus because we know God has a plan with him. That when we get up in the morning, when we seek him day by day, by moment, we're seeking him for his glory, for his honor, for who he is. That as we do that, we'll be blessed by him, because we want to be obedient and honoring God. I pray that when we seek Jesus, we won't do it because we want some confirmation of the Jesus that will give me what I want, but instead we do it for his glory and his honor. And God will continue to reveal that and perfect the picture of who God is for us. That we are even more inclined with great joy to love the God who has given us Jesus. And that we will love the God, and we would always fear God more than we would fear people from the outside. So we would not take in false teaching, and we would not be seeking Jesus for our own purposes, but for God's glory and his honor. And so when we look at these questions, who do we seek and why do we seek it? My prayer is that we seek Jesus for the glory of God, and that he'll be glorified as we do that. We also see that Jesus actually loves by suffering. We see that he is laying down his life in suffering, and he actually gains his glory by suffering. Man, like when we look at this, and this is why it's so countercultural, is, well, why would you deny yourself? Well, that's what Jesus does. He denies himself. He seeks his Father, not himself. So as we look at that, how do we deny ourselves and seek the will of the Father? Doing what Jesus has shown us to do. As I said, Peter seeks his own. Judas seeks his own version of who Jesus is. The Pharisees and the rulers, they seek him to destroy him. There's people that do that today too. We'll seek out Christians to destroy them. They will seek out, other people would seek out to perverse the teachings, that they will gain more power. We have the Pharisees and the rulers. They need to get Jesus out of the way because he's hindering their gain. Because they had a false understanding of what the scriptures said. They had built so much around them that they couldn't see that Jesus was fulfilling the very prophecies. And I think this is where Jesus becomes this very beautiful example. He does the opposite of those people. Jesus becomes great by suffering. He knows what's going to happen, and he lets it happen anyway. He'll be arrested, tried, and killed. He has many times where he can escape, but he doesn't. He could have just gone home. He had gone back to Capernaum. He could have avoided Jerusalem, but he didn't. He entered in to the suffering and the pain. What a difference that is to false teachers and other people who just seek for their own gain. Jesus seeks to be faithful to God and to honor God. And in that, he shows the love of God for him and for us. The good news is that everyone who will believe in Jesus' life, death, and his resurrection, that he's coming back, he's made a way for us to be with God through his obedience and his suffering. He opens a way for us, and he gives God glory. The Holy One dies for the ungodly and the unholy. Jesus shows us who God is and what greatness and leadership should be looked like. Submission to God to do his will and to give glory to God above all things. Also in suffering. So who do you seek? Do you know Jesus? I ask you that you seek him. Seek him that he might reveal him to you. I just explained it. God loved us, sent Jesus. And whoever believes in him can have eternal life with him, can have their sins forgiven, being adopted into God's family. That is the great news. The good news is that God did that even before we did anything. So you can put your hope and faith and trust in Jesus. Well, what about us? Has there in this sermon been idols revealed by the Holy Spirit? Things you need to repent of? Then use this time and seek and ask for forgiveness. Repent. Ask Jesus for forgiveness. And I would also ask that we would be encouraged to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow Jesus, to seek who he is for his glory and his honor. And that we can do that by the Holy Spirit in us. If you don't know Jesus, why not seek him? Why would you deny him? Stop seeking all sorts of other things and seek Jesus instead, who gave up his life that we could have eternal life. We actually can be adopted into God's family. We're invited to suffer and to submit to what God has for us, not to be the best version of who you are, but actually be the one God has called you to. God's promised that if we're in him, there's already good works we can walk in. Doesn't mean you get whatever you want. It means that you can experience who God is right now through Jesus Christ. And you can do that by the power of the Holy Spirit. So I invite us all to put a hope and faith in Jesus, to seek Jesus daily. And instead of denying him, deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow him. And we can have joy in who Jesus is because we can see it in the New Testament. You see, through Paul and the other people, their lives were not easy, but they had joy because they were obeying and following who Jesus is. The last note is like, who is this Jesus? I think we see a glimpse of who Jesus is when they are asking who he is and they all fall to their knees. There's just a glimpse of how powerful and majesty Jesus is. Jesus is, as John said, is the woman, one through whom God created all things. That all praise and glory was to Jesus when he was in heaven and he is still worshipped by them. Jesus is the perfect image, the perfect picture of who God is. Jesus is the very God, as John says in his introduction. I pray you know him, or I pray you seek to know him. May God bless you and encourage you. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time where we can look into your word. Jesus, thank you for who you are and what you do. Thank you for showing us perfectly who you are and who God is. Thank you for showing us the love of God. God, thank you. You showed us in John's gospel how you love Jesus and how Jesus loved the disciples and how you have called us to love one another like that. Lord, I pray as each of us consider these things, Lord, help us by your Holy Spirit to remember to seek you daily. Moment by moment, every hour. And Lord, I ask that you clearly reveal how we can be obedient, and how we can serve and love you in all the spheres of our lives, as parents, as workers, as children, as whatever situation we're in. I pray you would encourage us in that. I pray you fill us with your Holy Spirit and make this possible, because you are the only one who can change our hearts and minds, and we ask that you will. Ask that we will be willing. Ask that you help us daily to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow you. I pray that all of it, as we seek you, and even as we take up our cross, it won't be for the praise and glory of us, but it will be for the praise and glory of who you are. As we obey and seek and search and even sacrifice, you'll be honored and glorified, and we will receive great joy in who you are. We ask that you get the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you have questions, you want to talk, you want somebody to pray with, feel free to just talk to people around you. I'm also willing to pray with you, so just remember that. Last note, just before we go to the next thing, we always want to put Jesus in focus. And so if you heard something like, oh, I just have to do more and more and more, I don't believe that was what my intention was. My intention was to just point you to Jesus, that you consider Jesus and you would seek him, and that the Holy Spirit would be the one that works in you. So we ask that. All right. We will now act out the gospel, and we'll do that through celebrating Jesus'